April 7th, 2016. You're looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 558 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on sports on earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and thank you for spending part of your day with me. Sorry, we're a little late. I was at the Final Four this weekend, and which was terrible on Saturday and unbelievable on Monday. I wrote about it twice on the site. I feel like I'm going to be writing about that game probably for the rest of my life. So please check out my sports earth pieces on it, because it was one of the most fun sporting events I've ever been to or even really seen at all on person or in television, in person or on television. Just amazing across the board. So anyway, we're back to baseball. Currently, as I speak to you, the Cardinals are 0-2, so I'm pretty convinced there is no God. But I also apologize, by the way, that we never did do an NL Central preview. We'll talk about that briefly on my podcast here with Allison Fetter today, just because I forgot to do that, because I pushed it off for so long to hold it for last that the season started. And I was like, right, NL Central. That's part of the crack production team that we have here at the Willich Experience podcast. Anyway, here is Allison Fetter talking some baseball again. Hello, Allison. The season has begun. Are you in the grasp of baseball fever? Where are you?
I'm in Houston. I know. It's hard to believe that I'm actually in Houston, because it won't be much longer until I'm not here in Houston anymore. But yes, I was at the Arizona Diamondbacks opening day, which was fabulous.
Is that the one that Greinke got knocked around?
Greinke got knocked around, but I was actually paying zero attention to the actual game that was being played, because we did a behind-the-scenes, round-the-clock, following the Diamondbacks around. I got there at about 5:45 a.m., talked to the executive chef about their new grilled cheese sandwiches. We were out at the center field pool. We were hanging out with the Randy Johnson mascot. We were basically doing every single thing that we possibly could leading up to game time. And then, of course, we did some interviews with Alice Cooper, with Randy Johnson. I mean, it was so much fun. But the actual game, I did not get to see a lot of. And I'm kind of glad, because it kind of turned out to be a big thud for the D-backs.
I mean, you can't turn down Alice Cooper.
He is so fantastic, you know. And, I mean, we know that he is. And, of course, like, the Wayne's World thing. So for my generation is like, you know, that was like one of the coolest things for him to the whole scene in the Wayne's World movie, when he's like backstage with the guys, like talking philosophically. And but he is such a nice guy, and he grew up a Tigers fan. He's from Detroit, and he basically, his lifelong dream was to like be a part of the Tigers outfield. Living in Phoenix, he was just praying that when the Diamondbacks franchise was coming about, that it was going to be a National League franchise, because he'd sooner die than have to he couldn't root for another American League team because of the Tigers. So he was so hoping that Diamondbacks were going to be a National League team, and he got what he wanted. But he's just great. It was so much fun.
It's weird to think Alice Cooper is 68 years old, and he simultaneously seems older than younger than that. But I always think of him as on Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1 with the garden, but that's probably
he's only 68.
68, I know, right? He seems like he's either 94 or like 15.
He looks older than 68.
Well, I think those are hard earned lives.
Some hard years. We had Randy Johnson talking about mullets, ranking certain mullets. I've said this before, say it again. Randy Johnson, as the retired Randy Johnson, is one of my favorite people in baseball.
Yeah, so much more likable than when he was a player.
He's so great. He's just, I mean, you never really know what's going to happen when you throw a question at him like, mullets, can you please discuss? And he knocked it out of the park.
So. Mullets, what's with those? all right, well, we're going to do a short one this week, because I'm sorry we're a little late to everyone, but I was in Houston just missing you. We just missed each other. I got in on Friday night, and you left very late Friday night, and you got in, and you left Saturday morning, so I was unable to catch you. But I'll catch you the next time there. I did actually go for a run. I was staying by Energy Stadium, a very nice Airbnb. Two very nice people had wonderful. My first Airbnb on a business trip experience, and wow, it was wonderful. It was. Good. I don't know why people don't do that. I felt like I had my own little place, and the Wi-Fi was, to me, the Wi-Fi was worth it. The fact that I didn't have hotel wireless, to be entirely honest with you.
Yeah.
But I took a run out to Minute Maid Park. It's about 6 miles away, but like a nice solid run out there. You've got that little. that little bayou trench place where you can run down the water. There's a little, it's a wonderful little place to run. I really enjoy it. I had, to be honest, I had heard that oftentimes Houston is not always people's favorite place to host big events. I have to say, I found it wonderful. I actually had a really terrific time. Other than the games on Saturday, but the game on Monday more than made up for that.
More than, yeah. And this time of year is so beautiful around here. I mean, it does rain a lot in Houston, obviously, but it's really, I think it's more weather related when people think of Houston and they don't want to come here. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want you to come here in August for your first impression of Houston, but this time of year, yeah, Bayou Park, and it's like right near my house. There's like this eight mile track around the city. It goes into downtown and around, and it's just, they've really done a lot to spruce up the city. But, and the restaurants are really good. So, you know, people that don't really like going to certain places, I find that they're probably just curmudgeon-y sort of negative people in general, and they're just going to find something to complain about wherever they go. But, you know, when you have a big event, I mean, hopefully, you know, the Super Bowl, everyone will have a pleasant experience here next year. But I kind of like Houston. I like it here.
No arguments here. No arguments here. So, so now getting the baseball started. Baseball started. I actually spent my opening day, while you were preparing for your mullet conversations, I was I spent my opening day at the Home Plate Bar and Grill right next to Minute Maid Park.
Woo, highfalutin!
I know, nothing but the fancy stuff for me. I ordered a cheeseburger, and it looked like those cheeseburgers that like my mom used to make when we were really, really poor growing up. The
right.
ones that were like that were cooked just on the sidewalk outside after a few hours. But it was still good. I ate it. But I was watching the Cardinals lose their opening day game with Tom Ackerman, a radio guy for KMOX, and Matt McCumber, who's the assistant coach at Kansas State. Because with the Final Four, a bunch of people come from all over the country, and obviously a lot of those people are Cardinals fans. So I got them all together. We a bunch of Cardinal fans all got together, and thankfully nobody knew where we were all gathering, because it would have beaten us up, because as people think about the Cardinals now. But they lost twice. Generally speaking, the major story, I guess the biggest story that's really happened, not really much can happen in the first 2 days, but the biggest thing that's probably happened was the Jose Bautista play at second base that ended the Blue Jays Rays game. Now, have you seen the play? Did you see the play?
I read about the play. I read the coverage on the play. I did not watch the actual play, but
It's weird. It's weird because, you know, it's a big controversial play because it ended the game. No one likes to see a rule call end a game. I mean, the game was tied, and then it was, and then all of a sudden it wasn't.
Right.
And it's funny because it's Joe Sheehan pointed out in his newsletter that he wrote about the play, pointing out that the actual thing that Bautista did is not specifically covered under the new rules. There's nothing that in there, because basically what he did is he slid into the base, and then he did obstruct with the, he did mess with the fielder, but what he did was he moved his hand after, which is not actually listed. Like all the rule says, which I feel like they should just change it, all because it's in the spirit of the rule. The rule says you have to make a slide motion, and he did that,
right.
But he also grabbed for him with his hand, which is technically not banned, though it feels like that should be banned.
So, I mean, but how much damage can he do with his hand?
I think the idea of it, not much. It's not like, and I think that is what I think a key thing to understand about the Bautista thing is it definitely was not the Utley play. Like the Utley play, like obviously there was an intent to hurt, and there was hurt. Like he was hurt, Tejada was injured, and so that was a very easy play to say, oh, what an asshole move that was. He took him out. What a jerk. This, there's no way that he was going to get hurt.
Right.
There was no Forsythe was not going to get hurt on that play. But it was also not part of the slide. It was a clear, I'm trying to mess you up.
Right.
Type of move.
Which you're not allowed to do anymore.
Exactly. And so to me, that's what I liked about it is the thing I didn't like about the Utley suspension last year was I think if Tejada wouldn't have gotten hurt, he would have never gotten suspended. I felt like a reactionary type
yes.
of thing. It felt like this guy got hurt, so we need to make a statement. We need to do something. The thing that I liked about this, even though it is, as Sheehan points out, it's not specifically in the rules on this. This is why we have the rule. Because he took out his hand to try to mess with Forsythe's ankle, his plant ankle, and mess with the flow, mess with the play, and that's why he threw the ball away and the game was tied. So one of my big arguments with replay, as we've talked about before, is it sometimes turns into you worry too much. It's too pedantic. People get too worried about what the actual second by second motion rather than the spirit of the thing. The thing that I liked about this, I know Blue Jays fans might be a little annoyed to hear this. The thing I liked about it was what replay did was they got the spirit of it right. Even though it's technically not in the new rules, again, I think it's a very easy thing to add. The fact is, he messed with the play at second in a way that you're not supposed to, and in the spirit of the game, they made a common sense move. And that's all I really want from replay. I love replay if it uses common sense in a baseball way, as opposed to there was a millisecond where his foot came off the bag on a slide, so therefore we have to call him out. That's what I liked about it.
Okay, first of all, on the Tejada thing, the fact that they made the rule because he got hurt is to me why you would make a new rule, because he got hurt. I don't think it was an overreaction. I get tired of people waiting around for something to happen before they make a rule. So, like, I mean, I've always said, like, the center field hill at Minute Maid Park is dangerous and stupid. But of course, they're gonna have to wait until someone actually like falls on their chin and snaps their neck in order to say. And the fact that it hasn't happened yet is the people's excuse for why that hill is not dangerous. So, and that annoys me, like, to no end. So, in this situation, the fact that like the rule coming out of the fact that Tejada was hurt is the perfect time to make a new rule. And yes, I find, a lot of the managers, when they first came out with this, the new revised rules, were saying that this is going to be very dangerous for the middle infielders because you now have to go straight into the bag.
I made this argument myself.
Yes. And they were saying we're going to see a lot of new injuries popping up because of this. And it's not going to be really anybody's fault except for the rulemakers who are making these stupid rules, is basically what they were saying. But yeah, I mean, Bautista, these guys are trying to gain an edge. And so Bautista was following the rule. But then, because there's nothing that says that what he can do with his hands, he did that. And it's unfortunate that it ended a game. I mean, that it cost them a game. You hate for that to be the outcome. Because it's really not fair. But it is, because they're just gonna have to get used to it. There's gonna be, a trial period, and we saw it happen, and people will look at it and learn from it and move on from it. I thought Bautista was very reasoned with his comments after the game.
Which is rare, which I have to say.
He
That's
was
very rare for
spoke
Bautista.
well, I mean
I
he's
like Bautista, but he's not always the most reasonable guy.
Well, and yeah, I mean, he's definitely like not like we've said, like a warm, fuzzy, lovable guy, but he is very level-headed and extremely bright, and could, make sense of this. His manager, not so much. But I think that, he's accepting it, and he takes it, and then the next time, maybe, the outcome will be different.
Yeah, to me, and that was what I liked about it was, this is not like it was last year when there was like the catch play and it overturned something that cost a game. Everyone was like, wait, that's not right. That's not fair. That's not what a catch is. We know what a catch is. This doesn't feel like that. This feels like an actual, like called in a right baseball way. And that's all I want. All I want from replay is for it to call what an actual baseball play is, not some weird pedantic thing and so on. So there's that. So is there anything else jumped out at you? Have you been, because I have to say, other than the fact that the Cardinals have lost the first two games, that's blinded me to everything. And Mike Matheny's insistence on bunting all the time too. There was many. It's amazing to me. This is another reason people hate Cardinal fans is because the Cardinals are 0-2, and I just think the world is collapsing. I think everything is falling apart. I'm so upset that the Cardinals are
So
0-2.
sad for you.
I know they're 0-2. Like this makes me wonder if there is, in fact, a peaceful and loving deity in charge of our lives, and if and otherwise maybe it's all just randomness and chaos and sadness and
I mean,
death.
do I have to cancel my hotel rooms for October in St. Louis? I'll be so sad. So sad. Did you see the play, the Astros, Yankees, speaking of teams that we watched closer than others? So the play, the Astros Yankees game yesterday, when Correa was running clearly outside the baseline, and then there was an overthrow. Betances overthrew to the first baseman, but they didn't call interference because he didn't like actually hit him with the baseball, and so the umpire said that it basically is not a call that needs to be overturned because it didn't hit him. Did you see that?
I saw it. What did you think of it?
Well, I mean, I guess, I mean, Joe Girardi, I kind of understood like why he was so mad. He said after the game, like, you're basically telling me to tell my players to assault the opponent and just throw directly at him, which can't possibly be what we want to be doing with this. And I saw his point. First of all, Carlos Correa was clearly running outside. I mean, he was on the grass, like 5 inches inside on the grass. So, I mean, he really can't do that. And the fact that Batanz's throw was just like this lob that just like went straight over the fielder's head, because you really don't know what he's thinking and when he's trying to get it over there. And I think the umpire's reasoning was like that was just an errant throw, and that wasn't the throw that was made because he was obstructing your view. So I mean, I see both sides of it, but I do see why Girardi was really mad, and I don't know. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I think that I agree with you. I see both sides of it too. I kind of feel like if he makes a normal throw, Girardi doesn't even notice that Correa was out of the baseline. Like, I think he was out of the baseline, but the fact is, I mean, if he would have thrown him out, Girardi would have never ever noticed. He would
No,
have,
I
like.
think that if he if he would have made a normal throw, he would have hit Correa.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying the lob that he made, like he like I agree. Maybe. I mean, that's going into Betances' mind. And I think that's what I don't. That's why I see both sides, because basically the umpire has to decide what was in Betances' mind. And
Well, he has to decide what's in Betances' sight line. And
yeah,
sight
but
line is not the fielder, and he can't see him, and he makes that errant throw. But then again, I mean, I'm also, of the opinion that it was just a bad throw by Betances. It could have easily been that bad throw if Correa had been in the baseline. But you need to run inside the baseline.
I mean, I agree. I agree.
So
But
there needs to be
Betances,
like a penalty for
if
that.
Betances makes the throw he's supposed to make, Betances needs to know that if someone's running in the baseline, that's not, it's not your responsibility to make a to throw around him. Like, it's your job to throw to the base, and if it hits him, he's out. And so that's why I ultimately side with the umpire on that, in that it's all, like, you can't really get after. You can't, I mean, listen, I agree, Correa was out of the baseline, but Betances, like, it's not like Betances has to be handled with kid gloves. Like, he's really afraid he's going to hit somebody. Like, in a lot of ways, he needs to throw the guy out. And if he can't throw the guy, if he's trying to throw over his head, let the umpire decide if the ball got hit, what happened, not later. That's what I mean about Girardi with the baseline idea. Like, that basically they were arguing something, a decision that was made before, afterward. Like, he came in after they knew the result of the play and said that wasn't fair. But if he would have thrown him out, or if he would have hit him, now if the ball would have hit him and then the umpire didn't make a call, then I think Girardi would have a really good case.
Well, no, of course, of course the umpire would have made that call, which is why, which is the what we have to ask is, does it really need to hit him to be ruled the way it needs to be ruled when you're running outside the baseline? Like,
I
why
think it
should it have
does.
to hit
I
him?
think it
Yeah.
does.
All right.
I do. I do. And I understand the point. I understand the point. But if we're gonna, like, I mean, it's just a lot. Like, if the best thing for the Betances to have done was to just make a good throw,
Sure, of
and
course.
that would have solved all of it. But yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I think you're right about that. And that was an interesting play. And I think that's actually may even be more interesting than the Bautista play, in a
But
lot of
here's the
ways.
thing. So if you're like trying to make that play and you hit the runner, if you feel like I can't make this play, so I'm just going to hit him. Because then we can argue that he was outside the baseline. I'm not sure you want to go there.
I'm not saying wing the ball at his head, but make
Well,
your regular
that's kind of
throw.
what the umpires are telling you to do
He, no,
though.
he's
I
telling you to
mean,
make your regular throw. He's telling,
yeah,
and
but
if someone is in the baseline, then we'll call them out, and then they'll teach then Carlos Correa to not run there because sometimes they'll get hit. But like, they're not. No one's telling Betances to throw at the runner. They're
well,
telling Betances to throw to first base. If
they're kind of
Correa.
signaling. They're kind of signaling for him if it happens again to kind of throw it at the runner.
No, to throw at the base, and the runner is in the way. That's what they're arguing. And listen, I agree.
He's in the way, though. I mean, he's going to be in the way
Okay, well
because.
then they'll call him out. But the one thing they can't do is guess that, like, oh, I'm sorry, I made that bad throw because of this thing, as opposed to throw to the base. Throw to the base and that won't happen. If it hits Correa, we'll see that he was out of the baseline and we'll call him out. But how about put it this way? If Betances makes a throw that isn't a bad throw, but he's trying to avoid Correa, and they call him out, nobody's protesting. That's
Right.
what I don't like, is the idea of coming after the result of the play, saying, "Oh no, but I had to do that." To me, that's where I think it's difficult for. I think the good. I think I understand what Girardi's saying. No one wants to get hit. No one wants to get hurt. But this is a game where sometimes you run where people are throwing the ball.
Yeah, I guess.
So.
I just think that if Correa was running inside the baseline, then Betances has a clear view of his fielder's glove, and he might have actually made a throw,
Yes.
but maybe I'm just not giving major league players enough credit for what they're able to do.
It's amazing what they're also very tall. Okay, so the last thing we gotta do, because me, like the dumb dumb that I am, Well, I got so excited for all of our season previews that we did it last week. We did our official big season preview and skipped an individual National League Central preview, which I have to say, I was very honored by the number of people that were pointed out my idiocy on that.
I forgot because I picked the Cubs to win the World Series, and I thought that was pretty much a closed case right there.
It was pretty much, I think it was not lost on some people that, like, Will, you just didn't want to not pick the Cardinals to win the division. And I understand where they're coming from on that. So just trust us as we talk briefly about the NL Central, that these were our picks beforehand. And frankly, the way the Cardinals have played in the first two games, I almost am feeling bad about my prediction. But I had the Cubs winning the division, and obviously the Cubs are going to win the division and win the World Series. Simply ask any of their fans. They're winning the World Series. Obviously, right? Obviously, they're winning the World Series.
I'm not a fan, and I'm predicting them to win the World Series.
That's fine. That's fine. But you're predicting them to win the World Series. But if they don't win the World Series, you're like, I mean, you predict someone to win the World Series every year. And some years they win it, and some years they don't. Most of the time, I pick a team to win the World Series, they don't win the World Series. But, you know, it's a reasonable prediction. But I will say, and I'm from Illinois. I have many, many friends who are Cubs fans. There is this weird kind of, oh, yeah, I mean, we got this, to Cubs fans this year. Am I crazy? Am I imagining that? Am I being a weird Cardinals fan? Or, like, it does seem that there is I've even heard other general managers. You've seen this in some of the previews. You saw some of the general managers, the unnamed scouts and general managers there in the previews. They're like, boy, congrats. We just go ahead and give the Cubs a ring now, put the patch on their shoulder in a lot of ways. They're kind of carrying themselves like a team that's already won the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they need to talk to the, what was it, 2011 Red Sox, the chicken and beer?
I think so. Here. Yeah, 20, no, 20, yeah, I think it might have been 2012. You're right. It was 2011. You're right.
2011. Okay. So, yeah, so they were like basically went to spring training thinking they should just get fitted for the rings then. And they went 9-20 down the stretch. So, yes, things, I mean, that team.
It's awesome.
Thanks to win World Series. That team was so good, except when it was so bad. So, yeah, I mean, to say, like, I do not feel that. I mean, first of all, any team can win the World Series. When you get that far, sometimes it just matters. It just depends on, you know, who's not completely exhausted by then. Once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen in a short series and in the 7-game series. So, but I just see the Cubs winning like 105 games this year. And then I don't have any reason to pick anyone else to win the World Series. But I will say that I've never been correct in any of my World Series predictions. So
pick the Cubs every year.
Predictions are silly. They're silly.
Yeah, they are silly. And to me, the Cubs are the best team in the division. I don't think anything in the first 2 days have done anything to dissuade us of that. Not the way the Cardinals have played. The Pirates have played really well. It's not like the Cardinals just lost to nobody. The Pirates are a really good team, and they've played as such.
Yeah, they have two really bad teams in the division. So it's really comes down to who beats up the Brewers and the most, and that's the team that wins.
If the Cardinals finish, if the worst case scenario is the Cardinals finishing third, if the Cardinals finish fourth in this division, there are all sorts of problems.
That's not happening.
I know. I'm freaking. I've been talking to a lot of my Cardinal fan friends already, and like I am not in midseason shape. Like every loss has me freaking out. Like I need to work myself back into the system. I'm way too concerned. But if you're telling me, Allison, that there's a possibility of a Lackey and Lester chicken and beer late season collapse in the Cubs future, I'm gonna take that.
No, it's not gonna happen.
Oh no, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the last part. You said it was gonna happen. You're the one who brought it up.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No. The Cubs have a totally different cast of characters than that Red Sox team. But I mean, nothing bad is gonna happen as long as Joe Maddon is guiding the ship, which is what I feel is gonna put them, you know, completely over the top. But yes, I mean, anything can happen. Injuries can happen, inconsistencies, guys that have sophomore slumps. I mean, there's so many things that can happen over the course of a year. It takes one catastrophic injury to set the whole thing, just sink the whole ship. As of whatever today is, April 6th, 2016, the Cubs are the best team in baseball. The end.
I mean, the Cubs could win 125 games this year and still lose in the playoffs because that's what happens. So,
They could get swept in the division series. So it's
like the last time before last year that they did.
I mean, look, my experience with the Astros, they won two playoff games in the first six, like the first 4 years. They went to the playoffs four times. In 5 years, they won two playoff games.
I mean, look at the poor pirates, man. Like in an alternate universe,
Oh,
we're
man.
talking about the pirates the way we're talking about the royals. The pirates have been better than the royals over the
Yes.
last 3 years. But
How great of a Pirates Royals World Series would that be?
I have
Oh,
to say,
my
I would
goodness.
get a kick out of that. I would get a kick out of
Oh,
that.
my God, would I love that?
No,
Oh,
that
pitching speed and defense, man. I love it.
would be fun. I would enjoy that. It might be cold, but that's okay. All right,
Yeah.
Allison, we wanted to make sure we get a short one in this week. We'll be back again on a regular schedule next week once we're not missing each other in Houston. But I wanted to make sure that we did not leave the devoted Footer and Leech listener bereft
So
in
wait,
this
are
hopes.
we ranking the division? Are we done with the NL Central? Like
Yeah, make you bet you have the Cubs. Who do you have second?
the Cardinals.
Okay, well, so do I. Then I have the Pirates third, and
Third.
I've got the Brewers fourth and the Reds fifth.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I couldn't really decide who was going to be worse, the Brewers or the Reds.
Yeah, they're both. Other than the fact that the Brewers GM is like 32, which is a little irritating.
Right.
Other than that, I have no problem with the Brewers. I love the Brewers. The Brewers are one of those franchises that the devotion of their fans are really underappreciated nationally. Like
Yes.
Brewers, like they get like 3 million fans a year,
No,
even
they're
when they're not
great.
that good. And that stadium is fine. Like it's okay. It's not a bad stadium. It's not a great stadium. It's fine. It's got a great tailgate area,
Yes.
but you kind of have to because it's not really near anything. So you kind of have to have it
Milwaukee,
both.
man, it's a blue-collar beer drinking town. Those towns are always good sports towns and good baseball
I
towns.
mean, theoretically, but I mean, tell Cleveland that. Cleveland is not doing. They're having a hard time. Like Brewers fans, even for that, are on the upper tier. They're really impressed. Like I'm always really impressed by every time I've been to a Brewers game, the number of Brewers fans there are. They're a really devoted team, and hopefully, if they were in a division other than the Cardinals, the Brewers would be one of those like teams I always secretly rooted for. But
I think that they're going to be fine soon. And just, there's this place called The Office that's near, it's like in the downtown area, and you can drink there until like 3 a.m. and then you can go there for breakfast at about 5:30.
Wow, that theoretically speaking, this is no like personal story. This is just something you heard from somebody.
Friends told me about it.
Exactly. Yeah, my friend from Canada. I'm going to the dance with her next week. All right, thanks, Allison. We'll get back on the normal schedule next week, so on. But mostly baseball is back. This is very happy times.
This is very happy times. There's all kinds of games on TV and they all matter.
I know, and they're on during the day. It's just weird.
Yes.
Like it's very pleasant.
The best.
All right, everyone. Make sure, of course, always follow Allison at Allison Footer, AllysonFooter. And of course, see her work on MLB.com. This is Willie's Experience Podcast. Music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We'll be back with Allison probably Monday or Tuesday, I think. All right, see you, Allison.
Okay, thank you.